TV.
Well, I thought we'd end the week with a nice little peaceful, happy topic, namely what will happen to your religious loved ones during the tribulation. Yeah, you can count on me for this. Happy to be here. Happy to be of assistance to you. This is Martin Zender, and where's this stray hair coming from? Always, when I... This doesn't show up until I start a video, then something strange happens. Okay. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. You're not gonna hear this anywhere else. I don't think. You might, but I highly doubt it. Now, earlier this week, when I was in Ohio, I talked about the new covenant, the new birth, being born again. And I said this had to do with Israel. And as you know, as I've taught for many years, there is a difference between the gospel given to Israel and the gospel given to the nations. The whole earth, the population of the earth can be separated into two groups of people, Israel and the other nations. The other nations, that is us, we have our own gospel and our own apostle. It's the gospel of the grace of God, the transcendent grace of God. There's no law involved. The Ten Commandments never came to us. We don't have to baptize. We don't have to circumcise. Ain't it great so far? What do we have to do? Well, it's up to God to call us out beforehand, before the eons, before we were born. Obviously, before the eons would be, before we were born. And then, once we're designated beforehand during our life, he calls us out of the mass of humanity, as I explained yesterday, the mass of ignorance, and he brings us to a knowledge of himself. He has a plan for the rest of the world. But we don't know who he's going to call out. We don't. But when someone is called out, when they get the truth of the grace of God and the purpose of Christ, then we know that they've been designated beforehand. This is the gospel to the nations. And it concerns the conciliating of the heavens to God. This gospel to the nations, the people thereof, are called the body of Christ. And our realm is inherent among the celestials. That is where we will work and play among the celestials. Because God created two realms at the beginning of Revelation, Genesis 1:1, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth. The earth belongs to Israel. The Israel message has to do with the earth. This was the gospel that Jesus heralded when he was on earth in his Jew suit. Later on, after his resurrection from the dead, he shed his Jew suit and appeared to our apostle on the road to Damascus. This was the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. No laws, no forgiveness even. It's better than forgiveness. It's justification. God declares people righteous, simply who believe him. God never did anything like this in Israel. It's a higher call. It's a greater evangel. It is. Some people say, no, everything's equal. I don't know what to do with these people. I honestly don't. It's not all equal. Nothing about it is equal. God hates equality. Remember, I told you that. Martin Zender, remember, I told you. God hates equality. Even when he's all in all, not everything will be equal. Anyway, I like that. I don't know. There's variation. Paul calls it the multifarious wisdom of God. It's multifaceted as well. God does different things with different people. And even among the different people, he does different things. It's spectacular. God is like one of those people spinning the plates on the sticks. He's got all kinds of different plates, except over here he's spinning a lounge chair. Over here he's spinning a plate. Over here he's spinning an orange. Down here he's spinning a swimming pool. I mean, he is so spectacular. And no matter how you look at him, which way you look at him, there's a new sparkle coming out, depending on the light, whether it's top lighting, bottom lighting, side lighting. God looks different. God looks amazing. He's still the same God. But wow, I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that about him. I didn't know that about him. We're going to spend eternity learning new facets of God and of ourselves. God living in us. Oh, the body of Christ is an amazing thing. But Israel is for the earth. And God is going to call a people out. It's one little catch here. I have to tell you about this, but it's going to happen during the tribulation. There is a 7-year time period coming up upon this earth before God establishes his millennial kingdom on the earth with Israel. There's a time of birth pangs. Ow. Have you ever seen a woman in labor? I have 3 times. My very own lovely wife who gave birth to our 3 children, and a woman in labor is in great pain. Pushing. And when the baby comes out, all is well. But until then, forget it. Nothing's well. The tribulation is 7 years. Actually, it's cut in half. There's 2 halves to the tribulation. 3.5 years over here, 3.5 years over here. I don't have time to show you in scripture where all this is. I've spent enough time already introducing this video. Got to get to my main point here. The 3.5 years over here, it's going to be not great, but not as bad as the 3.5 years over here. In the middle of this, God is going to call out a people. Before it gets super bad, God is going to call his people Israel. Now, we have been already snatched away. We are not designated for indignation. We're not appointed ahead of time for indignation. We're people of peace. We're people whose message is God is conciliated, that is, at peace with the world. And we have no business being here. God has no business leaving us here when he declares war on the earth. It's a temporary war. It's just to wake people up. And oh, they're going to wake up, all right. And I taught you earlier this week about the new covenant, the new birth. This has to do with Israel waking up in one day. In one day, they will wake up. Now, let me show you where these people are in Revelation. And then I'm going to go back to Ezekiel and show you where they are. Because Revelation and Ezekiel go hand in hand. Boy, I love this. I just love this. Revelation. I mean, it's going to all work out in the end, okay? There's going to be some processes that are going to be quite uncomfortable here. In the unveiling, that is the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 1. After this, I perceive 4 messengers. These are angelic beings standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind may not be blowing on the land, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. This is literal. Yeah, this is literal. There's not going to be any wind for a while. It's going to be weird. You know, you see those meteorologists with their weather map. They say there's a high-pressure cell over Nevada. And this high-pressure cell will be moving north and east. It'll settle over Nebraska. But then there's a low-pressure cell coming out, from the Canadian Rockies. And it's going to displace the high-pressure cell. But no, the high-pressure cell is high. The low-pressure cell is low. So this low-pressure, high-pressure cell is going to move into the low-pressure cell. There's going to be lots of wind. Because of these pressure cells moving into each other. Wind, lots of wind. Well, the meteorologists are going to be bored when this happens. There's not going to be any wind. That is there. So there's not going to be any high pressure, any low pressure. Everything's going to be strangely equal. Okay, I told you God doesn't love. God hates equality, but he puts up with it for a little bit. So there could be no wind. Only when air masses are equal can there be no wind. And it's going to be one of those rare opportunities. Enjoy it while you can. And I perceived another messenger ascending from the Orient, having the seal of the living God. And he cries with a loud voice to the 4 messengers to whom it was given to them to injure the land and the sea. This is literal. Their land and sea are going to be injured. Saying, you shall not be injuring the land, nor yet the sea, nor yet the trees, until we should be sealing the slaves of our God on their foreheads. Here it comes. Get ready for it. This is the beginning of the new covenant. This is the beginning of being born again. Slaves of God are going to be sealed on their foreheads. And I hear the number of those sealed. 144,000. Sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. Judah 12,000. Asher 12,000. Simeon 12,000. And on it goes. All 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is 144. Add 1,000 to that. You get 144,000. But Martin, where are these tribes? You can't find them today. But God knows where they are. There's a guy living in Iowa right now who's of the tribe of Asher. He doesn't know it. His great-great-great-grandfather doesn't know it. But his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather does know it because that was probably Asher himself. These tribes were named after guys, sons of Jacob, otherwise known as Israel. God knows where these people are, and they're going to wake up. Boom! Shall a nation be born in one day? That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 66. Answer is yes. This is what Nicodemus didn't know about in John chapter 3 when Jesus said, ye, you Israelites, the nation, must be born again. But by this time, see, it wasn't always this way, but by the time the tribulation starts, that is the time we're living in now, these members of these tribes are scattered across the whole earth, and nobody knows where they are except God. He knows where they are, and he's going to call them out. But that's not all. After these things, verse 9, I perceived, and lo, a vast throng. This is above and beyond the 144,000, which no one was able to number. Lots of people here. Out of every nation, here you have it, out of every nation and out of the tribes and peoples and languages. You don't have to be a literal Israelite to be of the Israelite persuasion. There was a thing called, and still is, proselytes of Israel. Proselytes were members of the other nations who liked what was going on in Israel. They wanted to be associated with Israel, and they became attached to Israel. The word proselyte means toward comer. They came toward Israel, and they were not first-class Israel citizens, but they were respected by the Israelites, and they respected in turn the Israelite ceremonies, the Israelite feasts. They just wanted to be associated with God's people, and they were. And they were let in, and they were thought, oh, okay, these people are cool. A great example is Acts chapter 12, Cornelius, a man of the nations, but he was revered. He was known of by Israel. Saying, oh, this guy's a man of the nations, but he's super cool because he loves Israel. He's faithful to the law. He loves the promises of the fathers. He respects the hell out of us, and we respect the hell out of him. But only because he respects the hell out of us. Otherwise, not so much. So there's another vast throng, and where are they coming from? Well, out of every nation, tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm fronds in their hands. This is later. This is after their redemption. We're looking at them after their redemption. They're crying with a loud voice, salvation be our God's who is sitting on the throne. So they're at this time, we're kind of jumping ahead in time. They're probably in the kingdom worshiping God. And one of the elders says during this vision John is having, these clothed in white robes, that is those of the vast throng, who are they and whence came they? Who the hell are these people? Where the hell they come from? That's the Zender paraphrase. Verse 14, and I have declared to him, my Lord, you are aware. And he said to me, these are those coming out of the great affliction. So now we're looking back at what they went through. They're coming out of the great affliction. And they rinse their robes and they whiten them in the blood of the lambkin. Now, I believe this is figurative because there's only so much blood from the lambkin. And Jesus didn't have any more blood when he rose from the dead. So I'm trying to make this literal, if I can. That's the law of scriptural interpretation, but I really can't. So they've been cleansed, having come through the tribulation, they've been cleansed. Some of them may have been sacrificed, may have been martyred. Others survive alive to the end of the tribulation. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and are offering divine service to him. This is on the earth, not in heaven, day and night in his temple. There it is, the temple in the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem. And he who is sitting on the throne will be tabernacling over them. They shall not be hungering any longer. I'm going to tell you who these people are in a second. You probably know some of them. I'm sure you do. They shall not be hungering any longer, nor shall they be thirsting any longer. No, neither should the sun be falling on them, nor any heat. The sun's not going to affect them like it does now, seeing that the throne centered, maybe because they're indoors constantly. They may never be going outdoors. I don't know. I have to take this literally. Neither should the sun be falling on them. So I guess they're happy being indoors inside the temple, perhaps in the Holy of Holies. Some of them. I don't know. Seeing that the throne centered lambkin shall be shepherding them and shall be guiding them to living springs of water, and every tear shall God be brushing away from their eyes. Maybe because somebody follows them with palm fronds over their heads so that the sun never touches them. I don't know, but they're not going to be bothered by the sun, and they're not going to be hungering or thirsting anymore. This is what our Lord promised those. Now, this is happening on earth with Israel. This has nothing to do with the body of Christ. We're already in heaven. And not much is said about what we're going to be doing in heaven. Israel has much more said about them and about how they will come to be in this amazing position. But remember, they came through the tribulation. We're not going through the tribulation, but these people came through it. Remember the question, one of the elders says, who are these people? Where did they come from? They came out of the great tribulation. They rinsed their robes in the blood of the lambkin. That's got to be figurative. They have become cleansed by the blood of Christ. This is the new covenant. God will be brushing away tears from their eyes. I love that. I wish that on everybody. And it's eventually going to happen for everybody. But now let's go back to Ezekiel and find out. Where these people came from, how they got to be in the position they're in. Because Ezekiel goes into detail as to where this vast throne came from. I love this because it answers so much. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 16. The word of Yahweh came to me, Ezekiel speaking, saying, son of humanity, the house of Israel. These are the remnant of the house of Israel. The house of Israel, I remind you, was taken into captivity to Assyria. They never returned to the land, and they were scattered among every nation on earth. Amos 9:9. The house of Israel, when dwelling on their ground, defiled it by their conduct and by their practices. These people are now members of the Christian religion, and they are defiling God. People sometimes wonder, how do we locate the lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel? You locate them by looking at what they do, by noting their behavior. They will be acting like Israelites. They will be arrogant. They will be proud. They will be insufferable. They will be self-righteous. They will be using God for gain. They will be lording it over other people. They will claim to have all knowledge and all wisdom, and yet they know nothing. They have a form of devoutness, yet deny the power. That is where you will find Israel. But today we call them Christians because they've all lost their Israelite identity. They're all going to be here as raw material for the great high priest during the tribulation after we're snatched away. This is what's going to happen to your religious loved ones, those who are practicing the Christian religion, who are defiling his name all over the place, teaching wrong teachings all over the place, making a mockery of God wherever they go, wherever they speak, whatever they write, making fools of our God, believing in eternal torment, in human free will, in the Trinity. My God, what are they not doing? What are they not doing that's not wrong? I think I worded that correctly. It's a double negative. I don't know if I'd said it right, but they're not doing anything right. Let's put it that way. Dwelling on the defiled the ground by their conduct and by their practices, their conduct seemed before me like the uncleanness of an isolated woman. Oh, whoa, whoa. So I poured out my fury on them because of the blood which they poured out on the land and because of their idol clods. Not sure what an idol clod is. I'm reading from the Concordant version of the Old Testament, very literal here, but I don't like the sound of it. By which they defiled it. I scattered them among the nations. See, these people, these religionists today in the Christian church, people you know, their ancestors were those who worshipped the idols in Israel, the idol clods. I scattered them among the nations. They were tossed away among the lands, all mixed in, right? Like croutons in a salad. No, more like peas in a salad or garbanzo beans, just thrown in, mixed up. I scattered them among the nations. They were tossed away among the lands. According to their conduct and according to their practices, I judged them. When they came to the nations, wherever they came, they got my holy name profaned. When it was said of them, these are the people of Yahweh. Oh, these are God's people, but they profaned his name. Paul mentions in Romans concerning Israel, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Today, the Christians are doing that. What a surprise. They're direct descendants of the people who did it in Paul's day and the people who did it in the days of the prophets. They're defiling God's name wherever they go. When they came to the nations, wherever they came, wherever these people go, whatever they touch, turns to shit. My holy name got profaned. They got my holy name profaned when it was said of them, these are the people of Yahweh. Oh, these are God's people. All those people going to church on Sunday, they're God's people. Yeah, but they say that God's going to eternally torment people if they don't love them. Oh, and by this, By this they profane the name of Yahweh, and they have gone forth from his land. Yet I shall take pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel got profaned among the nations where they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says my Lord Yahweh, not on your account shall I act, house of Israel, but rather for my holy name, which you got profaned among the nations. These are the people I've been calling out for 32 years. These people. And I feel pretty good about it because God's calling them out here through Ezekiel. Ezekiel's calling them out through God, or they're working together, calling out these people. You profane my name. But I will hallow my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you got profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh. They don't know that now, because a lot of people turn away from God because of these people, because they're so nutty, they're so crazy, by believing that God will eternally torment people, that humans have their own freedom from God, their own free will, that God has to sit around and wait to see what people are going to do. Anybody with an inkling of the greatness of God just poo-poos all this and runs away as fast as they can. Gets away, they become atheists, or they go to an Eastern religion, they try to find a sane deity. But this ain't it. This ain't him. And yet the sane deity is still in heaven, and he's going to change these people in a day. I will hallow my great name, which has been profaned. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, averring is my Lord Yahweh, when I am hallowed among you before their eyes. It's an amazing thing's going to happen. It's called being born again. It's called the new covenant. Then I will take you from the nations. Oh, this is it. This is it. In the middle of the tribulation, before, this is what I was reading to you in the unveiling chapter 7, sealing the people, before you injure the land, the seed, the trees, the shrubs, the bushes, before you injure any of that, the rivers, seal my people. Then I will take you from the nations and gather you together from all the lands. What lands? The United States, Europe, Eastern Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Alaska, wherever. Lost 10 tribes of Israel are sold. And I will bring you to your own ground. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleannesses. Thank God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, and from all your idol clods. Here we go with those again. From those I shall cleanse you. Eternal torment has got to be an idol clod. I don't know what an idol clod is. Eternal torment has to be one. Free will has to be one. The Trinity has to be one. I will give you a new heart. Here it is. Here it is. I'm Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I bestow within you. And I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh. That's what they have now. You have to have a heart of stone to teach eternal torment and to like it, to be good with it, to be shown how it's impossible for it to be true because of these mistranslations, but to not want to hear how it's not true because you love it. That's called a heart of stone. That's called a seared conscience. But God says, I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Oh, suddenly you're going to see all those people were right. God's the Savior of all humanity. Amen. Praise Jesus. I didn't choose him. He chose me. They tried to tell me that, but I was too stubborn. They tried to tell me God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but I thought Pharaoh hardened his own heart and that was a misprint. I know Scripture said God created evil, but I just looked at it and couldn't believe my own eyes. I will give you a heart of flesh, my spirit I shall bestow within you, and I will make it that you shall walk in my statutes and observe my ordinances. You will. It has to be supernatural for these people to do it, for anybody to do it. And you will obey them. This is going to be the law. The law is going to go forth from Zion. Folks, the law never came to us. Like, I know we're also of the nations, but we heard a different evangel. We heard the evangel of the grace of God. We heard the evangel that had nothing to do with the law of Moses, nothing to do with baptism, nothing to do with circumcision, nothing to do with obeying rules from Mount Sinai. But with grace, this is a great gospel. Why wouldn't anyone want to grab hold of it? Because of what I told you yesterday, that God has given all of humanity stubbornness, but he's reaching in and changing people even before this, but he's changing them into members of the body of Christ. This one I'm reading you is happens after, again, I say again, don't get confused, after we are snatched away. I will make it that you shall walk in my statutes and observe my ordinances, and you will obey them. Then you will dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers. To your fathers, same people. And you will become my people, and I shall become your Elohim. When I save you from all your uncleannesses, I will call to the grain and increase it, and I shall not lay famine on you. Oh, this is the thousand-year kingdom, the time of plenty. No more curse on the ground, no more weeds. Crops will come up like nobody's business, and the weeds won't be able to stop them because there won't be any weeds. I will increase the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field so that you may no longer suffer the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways. Oh, yeah, they're not going to forget it. They're going to remember it. That's the only way they will have an appreciation of where God is bringing them. Then you will remember your evil ways. You will remember all those times you watched MZTV in the years before the tribulation when you could have been a member of the body of Christ, but actually, no, ladies and gentlemen, I speak as a man because if they were destined to be members of the body of Christ, they would have heard truth belonging to membership in the body of Christ, but they did not. So that's okay. But they're going to remember their evil ways. Just reading the scripture here, verse 31, and actions which were not good. I'm reading exactly from the Concordant Version. I love that. Then you will remember your evil ways and your actions which were not good, and you will be disgusted in view of yourselves on account of your depravities and your abhorrences. But never mind all that. It's just going to help them appreciate that it was God all the way. They were numbnuts, and it was God who changed them, God whose spirit moved upon them, God who caused them to be born in one day. And so there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I love how Revelation shows us this thing happening, tells us about it, doesn't really show us, but tells us what's happening. And then Ezekiel 36 shows us what's happening. Where are these people coming from? They are coming from the raw material of the hundreds of millions, even billions of religious people in the world. Now, not all of them are destined for the new covenant, but I don't know, doesn't say how many are in the vast throng. We know there's 144,000, but a vast throng that it can't even be counted. That's a lot of people. And I believe that the majority of these people will be called from those who are religious, because these traits of religiosity are found among native Israelites, who are Israelites from way back, because you can't make a leopard change its spots or a tiger its stripes. But God will do just that. And he will take those stripes, take those spots, take those hearts of stone, and change them into hearts of flesh.